Well, good morning. How was Christmas? Good, all four of you, good. I mean, ours was good. We actually had two new, brand new additions to our family over Christmas. A little fish named Barry and one named Burrito. And we're very excited to have them in the house. We had an awesome time, just getting a chance to relax and rest a bit and hang out and do nothing, eat too much food, you know, all that good stuff. And so I'm so thankful for you to be here this morning because this is the last Sunday before the brand new year. And so this is a great time and opportunity for all of us to take an assessment of the past year and perhaps see God doing something new in the new year. But before we go there, I want to take just a moment to celebrate last weekend, because if you were here on Christmas Eve, we had an amazing, amazing experience here at this church. And there's two things I want to celebrate. And first and foremost, and the most important one is this. We saw between $200,000 and $300,000 come in toward our Advent offering to help with human trafficking, both here locally and also around the world with Lighthouse for Life and our partnership in India. That's something worth celebrating. It's amazing. And to be very honest with you, the months leading up to Christmas, our focus was completely on that. We are so excited to be a part of what God is doing in the world and helping rescue people who are hopeless right now. And so thank you for being a part of that. But also last weekend, we saw the single highest attendance of a single day at Mount Horeb ever in many, many, actually over 100 years. Here last weekend during Christmas Eve, we had 5,100 plus people come and worship between the five services here at this church. That's amazing. And the reason I bring these two things up is because I get this sense, as I kind of clear out this year and make space for a new year, I've been kind of assessing the past year, there is clearly something that God is doing in our midst here at Mount Horeb. Amen? I mean, I get this sense God is doing something here, and he's not done yet. And so for that, I'm extremely excited. And I want you to know, as one of your pastors, I'm incredibly honored to be a part of it. And so I want to thank you, Mount Horeb, because you're amazing people. Your generosity blows me away. If you've served in some kind of way this past year with student ministry or children's ministry, definitely a shameless plug for the new year. Or if you've gotten involved in a small group, or you've served overseas on a mission trip or locally on a mission trip in some kind of way, if you've served in any kind of way, I want to thank you for your generosity, because you've made a huge difference. And we've seen an incredible year, so I want to thank you for that. As we prepare for a new year, we would be remiss if we didn't slow down enough and say, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done. And thank you for your generosity and for being amazing people who are Mount Horeb. Thank you for your faithfulness. But with Christmas just behind us, this means only one thing, and that's 2019 is right around the corner. Does anybody feel it? It's coming, and it's coming faster than maybe some of us would like to admit. And for me, 2019 has been a bit of a tough pill to swallow. And here's why. If you're anything like me, as I look back on this past year, when I was sitting here in the same place last year, I had so many intentions and dreams and hopes and commitments and resolutions, and like none of them happened. And so if you're anything like me, I'm sitting here now being like, what? Where did the time go? 2018, it just started, it feels like, and now it's ending. And now I'm looking for another year, and I'm wondering, if I didn't do this, what am I going to do in the new year? And so the reason that I want to stand before you this morning and say this, anything that you feel like ended up being just kind of simple good intentions with grand hopes that you had that didn't quite pan out, the good news is that we get a fresh start once again. In fact, the good news of the gospel is you get a fresh start every single day. And I know this to be true about every one of us in the room. You're one of two people. Either throughout this past year, you gained momentum in some kind of way. You gained momentum in your life, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your family, whatever it might be. Or potentially, if you're a lot like me, maybe you've lost some momentum in some different kinds of places. And if you find yourself in either one of those locations, we have a chance for new momentum to come once again in 2019. Momentum in life, momentum in your marriage, momentum in your connection with people and your connection with God, momentum in your career, momentum in your fitness, whatever it is, momentum is key for us to become the kind of people that we really want to be. And momentum is key for us to become the kind of people that I believe God wants us to be. And so technically speaking, momentum is very simply this: mass times velocity. It's mass, it's density, it's weight, it's significance, all heading in one particular direction. That's momentum. And so even as I describe that, you might feel like, wow, I have that. Or you might feel like, I have never had that in my entire life. But momentum is the kind of thing that makes sledding fun. You see, some places around the country, there's this stuff called snow that falls. And it's white and it's cold and it's so fun sometimes for like a couple days. But you can go sledding on snow, and your momentum is what makes it really fun. Momentum is what makes football enjoyable to watch, unless you're a Gamecock fan like me. Momentum is what, too soon, sorry. I'll wait till next year. Momentum is what makes those things fun. Momentum is what makes it fun to ride a shopping cart into a parking lot all the way to your car, even at 35 years old. Not that I'm 35, but someone probably is. Momentum is what makes all these things enjoyable. It's mass times velocity. That's momentum. And maybe momentum is easier to kind of illustrate for you than it is to explain to you. So in a place called Gloucester, England, every single year, there's an annual event called the Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling and Wake. And it is complete madness. I want to show you this quick video. Check this out. So I know it's on my bucket list for 2019, Gloucester, England. So this happens annually. There's actually an individual who's won this 20 times. Here's how you win. You chase a 9-pound round piece of cheese down a hill as fast as you can. If you're the first one to cross at the very bottom, you win. Or lose and win at the same time. This guy, he's won 20 times, but he's broken ribs, he's had concussions, he's broken arms, all chasing cheese down a hill. It doesn't seem right. This is what momentum looks like. And maybe some of you are like, how did you get actual footage of my last year, 2018? It's what it looked like, rolling down a hill, chasing a piece of cheese. This is momentum. And maybe momentum for you can feel really difficult, just like these guys experienced right here. But maybe momentum can look like something different. In 2019, I believe, and here's the good news, we can build momentum, experience real, positive momentum within our life. We can experience the work of God doing something in us and through us. You could end up, I believe, at the finish of 2019, more emotionally, physically, relationally, and spiritually healthy than you are right now. That's the good news of the gospel, that we can change. We can be different people. I believe we can. In the book of Philippians, you have a man named Paul who's writing a letter to these people living in Philippi, and he's in chains as he's writing this letter. He's imprisoned for the gospel as he writes this letter to these folks in Philippi. And he's writing this letter for a couple reasons. Number one, he's thanking them for a gift that they had sent him in his time of trouble. They had apparently raised some money and given it to Paul to take care of him as he was in the midst of difficulty and imprisoned in this location. Most people think it's in Rome. Now, Paul also in this letter, a large part of the letter is dedicated specifically to encouraging the people in Philippi to continue moving forward, encouraging them to keep momentum in the face of persecution and difficult circumstances. Paul's saying to them, listen, I know what you're going through. In fact, I'm feeling it myself as I sit here writing this in chains in prison, but don't give up. Press on. Keep going, keep momentum. This is Paul's letter to the people in Philippi. I believe some of the things that Paul would say to these folks in chapter 3 are things that we need to hear ourselves as we stand on the doorstep of a brand new year. And undoubtedly, some of us in the room experiencing difficulties and trials, even now, wondering what 2019 might hold. Here's what I believe Paul would say to us as he says it to those in Philippi. In chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, here's what he says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So Paul begins here in chapter 3, before verse 7, he has gone through a laundry list of all of his credentials as a Jew. He's like, listen, here's my heritage. Here's all the things that I've done from Jewish law. I've kept everything. I've crossed every T. I've dotted every I. Paul's basically saying, if anybody has a reason to brag about their past, I do. So he goes through all this stuff, and then in verse 7, here's what he says. But I consider it all what? Garbage. I consider it all rubbish in view of the worth of Jesus Christ. Paul essentially looks back on his past, the things behind him, and says, listen, all the credentials and things that I thought I've done to have spiritual momentum in my life, to move forward my relationship with God in some kind of way, it's all garbage. And I believe Paul would say the same thing to us when it comes to his background, when it comes to negativity, the bad things that are in his past. I mean, this guy was a Pharisee. He persecuted the early church. He's got baggage. And as Paul looks back, he says, the things behind me, it's garbage in light of the worth of Jesus Christ. There's a really key component for us experiencing momentum in 2019 that Paul unveils here. And I believe it's this. We have to choose to live our life looking through windshields and not rearview mirrors. Looking through windshields, not rearview mirrors. A few years ago, my wife and I got a camper from my grandfather. It's a 1985 Scamp, 16-foot Scamp camper. It is super cool. And we got it, and we remodeled the whole thing. She painted everything in there. So thankful for you, honey. She painted everything in there. It's very cool, it's kind of retro. And we take this everywhere with our boys. This is like our vacation choice. Mountains, beach, you name it, we take the camper. But the first time we ever took it, we went to Myrtle Beach, my wife and I, and we went to a Pirate Land. Anybody go to Pirate Land in here? Cool. Okay, so we went to Pirate Land. It was a very, very fun place to go, right on the beach there. And you pull into Pirate Land, there are literally like thousands of campers everywhere. And you come rolling in with a 16-foot Scamp, and all of a sudden you start kind of feeling a little insecure, especially because if you're a guy in the room and you know this is true, backing up can be difficult enough. When you're backing up with something that's attached to your vehicle, it's even harder. Now, some of you guys are like, I do it all the time. Yeah, me too. But it's still difficult. It's not easy, especially when you start pulling in, you realize that all these dudes in their campers that are already parked, they come out to watch you park yours, don't they? So we roll in there up to our little spot, and all of a sudden everybody comes out like, let's watch this joker. And they stand at their camper, you know, and I'm like, oh, geez. So I'm talking to Jenna. I'm like, listen, why don't you get out of the car? Just go back there. I'm sure I said it this nice too. Just go back there and will you just kind of help me back up? Because there's like a wood structure that I want to park right by so we can step right out and be covered and everything. So if you could just help me like just nicely just park it right there. But I need you to talk to me. So when you get back there, like you got to tell me like how things are going. She's like, no problem. So she gets out. I roll my window down. And so she's back there and she's just smiling, just waving. And so I'm backing up and I'm backing up. And I can't really see anything except for Jenna just smiling and waving. And I'm backing up and I'm backing up. And all of a sudden it's like, and I ran the backside of the camper right into the corner of this wooden thing. And Jenna, she didn't even see it. She's just still waving. And all of a sudden she's like, oh. And she never says a word. So I get out of the camper. I'm like, what happened? She's like, you ran into that. I'm like, no. I know. Because here's the truth. If you try to navigate your whole life using just rearview mirrors, you'll never get through. It was never intended for that. Rearview mirrors are so much smaller. It's showing you everything behind you. Not only that, but if you look on the mirror, it says objects in the mirror are what? Closer than they appear. Your perspective is completely different looking through that mirror. It's not real life. It's not what's really behind you. Even if you have someone standing out there who's supposed to be helping you, waving you on back, it's still too difficult just to navigate through rearview mirrors. What we have to do, every car was designed this way. You navigate by going forward, having a windshield kind of perspective, looking at what's ahead of you. Here's my concern for a lot of us in this room, including myself, that for a long time in my life, maybe in your life right now, you're living your life looking through rearview mirrors, not windshields. You're navigating and you're making decisions and you're doing everything in your life based upon things that are far behind you. And you're so busy staring in the rearview mirror, looking back to what's happened in the past that you're not having any kind of perspective looking what's ahead of you, what's before you. Paul says, I've done all of this stuff, good and bad, and I consider it all garbage in view of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. Paul's looking ahead. Paul has a windshield view, not a rearview mirror view. It doesn't mean you forget about it completely. I mean, certainly it has some kind of way of forming us and shaping us, but you reorient it completely. It doesn't own you anymore. It's not the baseline from where you start. In fact, Paul says it this way. He says, I consider it rubbish, garbage. The actual Greek word is the word skubalon. This word literally means dung. So Paul says, here's what I consider my past. Dung, garbage, filth. This is a very strong word for Paul to choose here because he wants every person to understand this. My past efforts, it's dung, trash, and rubbish. My past mistakes, dung, trash, rubbish, in light of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. So I want you to hear me this morning. There are too many of us in this room, I believe, that are stuck in our past failures, our past mistakes, our should-haves, would-haves, what-ifs, our past hurts, wrongdoings. But when we live our life staring in the rearview mirror rather than looking at the windshield, we have no clue where we're headed. And it is a surefire way to lose momentum, to not grab a hold of the healthier places and person that God wants you to be, to not experience real spiritual maturity moving forward. We get stuck in the past and we rob ourselves of our future. If you want momentum in 2019, quit looking in the mirror. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Look forward. What's ahead of you? I had a mentor in college. When I came to CIU in South Carolina, I moved from Indiana. And to be very honest, the last couple of years of my high school time in Indiana and my first year of college in Indiana before I came down here, I made some mistakes kind of relationally with different friends. I just done some dumb things. If I were to explain them all to you, you'd be like, what's the big deal, Trevor? But to me, it was a big deal. Like, I felt like I hurt some people and made some dumb decisions. And so when I came to South Carolina, as much as I was following God, there were some parts of me that were also trying to get a fresh start, a new chance where no one knew me. And so I came down to CIU and I started meeting with my mentor, Hooley Goddard. He and David Olsteiner are the two people that have invested in my life more than anybody else, have transformed me. And we would meet under this tree in these chairs like all the time, just talk about life. Every week we would meet together and talk, and he was just trying to help me kind of work through some stuff. And I remember one day we were sitting there talking, and for whatever reason, the conversation came up, and I just kind of shared with him how I felt like there were some people in Indiana who hated my guts for some of the things that I had done. And those people probably told other people who then told other people who told other people. And I just had all these people in Indiana that hated me, people that don't even exist. Like, they were there, and they hated me. I'll never forget what he said to me. He's like, Trevor, say this is true, so what? I'm like, well, if this is true, then that means they probably think I'm a fake. He's like, are you a fake? I was like, yeah, so what? Well, if they think I'm a fake, they probably think I'm not qualified to even be a youth pastor, come down here and go to Bible college after all this stuff. Like, I'm not qualified for this. They probably think that. So what? Well, if they think that, maybe they think that Jesus is a fraud. If they think I'm a fraud, then they would take that on out, and Jesus must be a fraud too. So what? And he just kept asking me this question. I'm like, you are driving me crazy. But I realized what he was doing. He got me to the very end of this whole discussion, my whole way of thinking, to the very, very end, where normally I would never go. And I finally got there, and I realized, so what? I can't change what's happened. I can't change the things that have been done. But what I can change is myself going forward. I lived so much of my life in that rearview mirror, worried about what people thought about me, the mistakes that I've made, the things that have happened to me, whatever it might be. And I worried so much about that stuff that it kept me from being able to move forward and find the person that God wanted me to be now. That was such a freeing thing. It was one of the first times in my life where shame and guilt was not a part of my life. And so for some of us in this room, this is exactly what needs to happen for us. No more rearview mirror. 2019 is windshield only, going forward, not worried about what's taken place in the past. If you need to make things right and then move forward. If you need to say something to someone and move forward. Windshields, not rearview mirrors. Paul then continues this conversation in chapter 3 of Philippians in verse 10 through 11 by saying this. He unveils a whole new way of keeping momentum in the new year. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, even as I'm in chains, Paul would say. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, here's what I really want. I've mentioned all this past stuff, and it's all garbage. It's all behind me in comparison to the worth of Jesus. So here's what I really want. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. in his sufferings and his death. And here's why. Because if I do, then somehow I will know him also in his resurrection, in his new life. Paul sits in chains and writes this very thing. Here's what I want more than anything. I want to know him. Paul sees his circumstances not as a dead-end road, but instead he sees it as a springboard into a new relationship with God, a whole new way of living. And here's what I admire most about Paul. He knows exactly what he wants. I want Jesus above everything else, above everything else in my life. One of the keys for us to having momentum in the new year, man, some of us in this room, we need to know what we really, really want. What do you really want in the new year? What do you really want to experience? What do you really want to have? As I spend time with students and adults day in and day out of this church for many, many years now, here's what I've found most disturbing to me. Most people that I spend time with have no clue what they actually want out of life. And so more than them living with intention and direction, too often life just happens to them. They just wake up and go through the motions and life just takes place. It's a momentum killer if you don't know what you really want. If momentum is mass times velocity, then most of us, we lack mass completely. We have no substance. We have no significance. We have no weight because nothing is really that important to us. Nothing gets our time and affection and attention, or at least things that don't really matter do. You see, for a lot of us in this room, the highest goal that we have may be to be like the yard of the month in our neighborhood. Not that's a bad thing. Maybe one of our highest goals is to fill our bank accounts or go on really sweet vacations or binge watch Netflix as much as possible. And when our life is about nothing more than those things, then we're not really living life to the full. Life's happening to us. We're not really living it. If you want real momentum, real true momentum, what has to happen is we have to know the things that we want the most are the things that are most important. That's where motivation comes from. What is most important? At the end of the day, the things that we think are most important, that is what we will sacrifice for. The things we find to be most important, that is what we'll work for. That is what nothing will stop us from getting to. 11 years ago, my wife and I, my wife now, we were boyfriend and girlfriend at that time, cute little youngsters. We were traveling back from Indiana around Christmas time. And I'd taken Jenna up with me to Indiana to meet my family. It was kind of a big deal. Like, it's never really happened before like this. So we were dating, and she was beautiful and wonderful, and I was, like, nervous. I took her to Indiana with me, and she met my whole family and stuff, and they're crazy, and so I was worried if she'd stick around. And we get up there, and it's freezing cold in Indiana, right? And so she bought, like, jackets and boots and gloves, and she was ready for it. She's a good Southern girl. And so we get up there, and we're, like, shooting skeet out in the yard and enjoying this freezing cold and having a good time with shotguns and stuff. And I turn around, and she's gone. She's back inside drinking hot chocolate and stuff, but she made it through. And so we got done, and we were driving back to South Carolina to do Christmas with her family, and it was really early in the morning when we left, and she was like, I can't believe it. We're going to see the sunrise. It's going to be so great. And if you know Jenna Owens Miller, she can fall asleep on a dime. So as soon as she said it, before I knew it, I looked over, and she was, boom, gone in the car. Never saw the sunrise at all. And she was so excited. We're listening to Christmas music all the way back, and there was this moment somewhere in Ohio where I looked over at her, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was playing on the radio. Something about her sleeping and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer just does something to me. I looked over, and for the first time, I looked at her, and I thought, I'm going to marry this girl. Like, this is the one I want. I want to marry Jenna. She's the one that I want. And in that car, at that moment, everything changed for me. So I started saving money for a ring. I went home. I had to get my house kind of put together. It was kind of a bachelor pad to get ready for this thing that was to come. Everything changed for me because all of a sudden she was the priority. She was the most important, and she was what I wanted more than anything. And see, for some of us, Jesus Christ didn't even fall in the top 10 of what we really, really want. And so for some of us, we get frustrated because we want to have a relationship with God. We want to do the right things, but we're not willing to put the effort for because in the end, it's not really what we want. We want other things more. Paul knows what he wants. This is how he had momentum within his life. So know what you want. Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating a wedding of someone who's getting married. And there was a student in my program at Eastlake Community Church years ago. And she was a middle school kid with me over at that church. And she walked in and she was beautiful and came forward and everybody was there and we were getting ready for the ceremony to start. And I wanted to take just a moment of personal privilege to say to everyone what an honor it was to be a part of this wedding. But before I even start talking, I felt myself get choked up. And tears just started coming to my eyes as I looked at this girl and this guy right in front of me I was about to do a wedding with. And I realized, I remember when this girl was a middle school kid, went through some things that no middle school or high school kid should ever have to go through. She had every reason to give up, every reason to throw in the towel. But there was something inside of her, even then, where she decided, I want nothing more than Jesus. No matter what, I want him more than anything. And all these circumstances, all these things around me, it will not stop me from having that. I want Jesus. And so just a few months ago, she was the first person to graduate from Anderson University with a women's ministry study. It's awesome, awesome stuff. I was so overwhelmed just by looking at her, just realizing this is an example of someone who said, I know what I want and nothing will get in the way of that. That's momentum. That's how you move forward. In fact, Paul says it this way in another book. In 2 Corinthians, he's listing for everyone who's reading this by saying, listen, I know what it's like to go through difficult things that may want you to quit, that may cause you to quit. He says this, are they servants of Christ? I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day on the open ocean. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger in rivers, danger of bandits, in danger of my own people, in danger of the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. He's been in danger a bit. And I've toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That's just one day for Paul. Paul said, I've gone through all this stuff, all of it. And you would think that'd be enough for him to say, you know what, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done. But it almost emboldens him more. I've been through all this stuff, and Jesus Christ is still worth it. Worth far more than anything. Everything else is garbage compared to the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. And see, for some of us, we have the hardest time deciding what we're gonna wear on a Sunday morning or get up early enough to make it to church. I've never been hit by stones. I've never been beaten by rods. I've never been in the open ocean, shipwrecked. It's never happened to me. But it happened to Paul. And he still said, it will not stop me from the thing that I really want, which is Jesus Christ, knowing him in his death, so that I might also know him in his resurrection, in his new life. So this year, what do you really want? I mean, do you want to have a marriage that is thriving? Then do what it takes to have that marriage. Quit playing games. Invest in the relationship. Make him or her a priority. Do you really want to have a strong faith? Then start reading the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Do whatever it takes to foster that growth. You want to get in shape? I do. Get moving, eat better, quit the excuses. When our willingness to do these things, to not be stopped, is coupled with the Holy Spirit of God, nothing can stop you from experiencing the kind of life that God has for you in the new year. Lastly, Paul mentions this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says this, I love this. After everything he's just said, not that I've already obtained this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul ends this discussion in terms of momentum, in terms of moving forward in life by saying this, it's about sustained obedience. It's about pressing on and doing the right thing day in and day out, no matter what it costs you, because it's the right thing. It's about not giving up on the things that God's trying to do within your life. He says, I've not arrived. I'm not at the end. God has more to do within me, so press on. And if any one of us in the room this morning, we feel like we've arrived, that's the first indication there's more to be done. More to be done within our life. And Jesus wants to do it. Here's how it happens. Practice sustained obedience. Sustained obedience, doing the next right thing day in and day out. It's the small things. A couple of years ago, I decided to sign up for a Tough Mudder with some friends here from the church. And the Tough Mudder we signed up for was a 10.5 mile race in North Carolina. Now, I don't even drive 10.5 miles hardly, let alone like run 10.5 miles. I sprinted in high school and I played football in high school and in college, but 100 yards is like as far as I go. After that, that was it. So the idea of running miles was a bit daunting to me, but I decided I wanted to do it. It'd be a fun thing, and there's like 20 obstacles, plus you get electrocuted at the end. I wanted to do that. So we signed up for this thing. Cost me $100 too. So I decided I better start running to get ready for 10.5 miles. So I'll be honest with you, the first run that I ever, like as a runner, I ever went on was at Myrtle Beach on vacation with my family. I got up one morning, I'm like, I'm gonna run. So I went running for like a mile. I was like, I don't ever wanna run again. That was terrible. So a couple days went by and I decided, well, maybe I'll run again. So I got up again, I ran another mile. I was like, that is terrible. People do this for fun. And I know every runner in the room is like, a mile, Trevor, please. I mean, for me, this is a big deal. I don't do this. So sure enough, over like a 6 month span of time, I started running in my neighborhood and on the dam and these different places. And it was a mile and another mile, mile and a half. Every once in a while, 2 miles, I thought I'd made it. I'll never forget, there was a point in time where I started running like 4 miles at a time. And I could do it. I didn't like it. In fact, I never liked it. But I was doing it. And some mornings I wake up and be like, I can't wait to go run today, which is an odd thing to say. And some mornings I was like, I can't wait to not run today. I don't ever want to do it again. But sure enough, the time came, went to North Carolina, and we ran this race. 20 obstacles, 10.5 miles. You get electrocuted at the end. Went through the whole thing. And I'm going to be honest with you. At the very end of the race, after 10.5 miles, I wanted to go more. It was amazing what 6 months of this sustained obedience, getting up and doing the right thing, even though I didn't want to, what it meant for me in terms of momentum finally at that race. I want to do it again. And I would love to say I've been running ever since for 2 more years. Not true. But 2019's coming. I'm about to do it. I might sign up for another one. So here's the deal. You won't see instant payoff from sustained obedience right now. In fact, you might not see a payoff for doing the right thing till years later. In fact, you may never see a payoff for it, but it's still the right thing. What would it look like if we were willing to do the next right thing no matter what the cost? Like, what if you woke up one day years down the road and you found out, wow, I'm a generous person because I began 3 years ago trying to be. What if you wake up years from now, you're like, wow, I'm a kind person. I tried to be years ago. I wanted to be years ago. Wow, what if my relationship with this person is now, it's restored. It's taken years, but we've gotten there. My marriage has never been like this before. It took a long time and a lot of hard work, but we did the right thing, the next right thing, day in and day out. Wow, we paid stuff off. That's what I'm praying for in 2019. We've paid stuff off. It was a pain to do it, but here we are. Even though it took years. Sustained obedience is what makes momentum. That's the headwaters of change. You know, a couple months ago, I was driving around Lexington. I was thinking to myself, maybe God really hasn't done anything in me. Like, what if this is all just a big fraud, a big hoax? Like, maybe I'm just really self-aware and I know how to do the right things. Maybe I just worked really hard at it. But then I started to think back on the person I was 10 years ago. 15 years ago, 5 years, 2 years ago, I began to realize that God has done something within me that I couldn't do on my own. That by the presence of his Holy Spirit, he began to reveal things and change things and cause me to have the kind of fight and boldness that I needed to make it through some of this stuff. God has done something in me. And maybe the problem is for some of us in this room, we've never actually had a real encounter. We've never actually really given our life to Jesus. We've just played games and we do the church thing on Sunday mornings, but beyond that, there's nothing. Maybe that's why there's no change. Maybe that's why you feel like you're on this rat wheel just doing it over and over and over again. It's Groundhog's Day. That could change. And Paul gives a reason in this passage as to why this kind of change is possible. He says, it's because Jesus' willingness to persevere, even in the face of the cross. When Jesus could have thrown in the towel and be like, you know what, this is far too much for people that don't even love me, way too much. I'm not gonna do this, I'm done. Paul says Jesus didn't do that. He went to the bitter end. He was obedient, Philippians 2 says, he was obedient all the way to death, even death on a cross. This is how Paul knows that we can keep going, how we can do the next right thing, how we can change and transform. So who do you want to be this year? This time next year, when we're having the same conversation, what kind of person do you want to be? Start making those decisions today, not tomorrow. not next month, not a year from now, today. Start living into that person. And you'll wake up one day and be like, wow. Wow. How did I get here? Start doing the small things. Sustained obedience. Get up earlier, Trevor. Choose honesty. Get help for that addiction. Say you're sorry. Begin to tithe and get your finances in order. Make your bed. Do the small things. Sustained obedience, and in the long run, you will see the outcome. You'll see the transformation. So I have two questions. Number one, today, what do you need to stop? In order for you to experience this new life in 2019, what needs to stop today? You see, for some of us in this room, we can't truly say yes to anything until we first said no to something. I'm speaking to myself. What do you need to say no to so you have the space and the margin to say yes to something else? It might even be something good, but it's got to go in order for you to be the person that God wants you to be, in order for you to experience God in the way that you want to. Second question, today, what do you need to start? What do you need to start? Nearly every single miracle that takes place within the scriptures first begins with someone stepping out in faith. So today, what is something that you need to start? Might be small, might run a mile, might make my bed today, I might not. What is it that you could do, a small thing today that would precipitate potentially a miracle that God wants to do in your life because you had the faith to step out knowing that he's faithful? Do it today. Would you bow with me? Let's pray together. Jesus, we know that the only way any of this is possible is because of the sacrifice that you made for us. Your willingness to go all the way to the cross, to create momentum in our life, to transform us into the people that you want us to be. God, thank you for rescuing us when we could do nothing for ourselves. Thank you for awakening our hearts, God, to see the great love that you have for us. And even right now, God, in this quiet moment, if there's anyone in this room this morning that knows that there's something they need to stop, something's got to be cut out, I'd invite you in the room just with eyes closed. If you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you this morning. If there's something that you know that needs to stop in 2018, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? And in addition to that, maybe this morning you know there's something you need to start. Would you raise your hand? Something's got to start right now for me to have the life I want in 2019. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you as well? God, maybe for every person in this room who's raised their hand, this is the small step of faith that they're willing to say something's got to change. And I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would come and couple with their desire to see something new. And I pray, God, you would transform them. I pray that this year, 2019, would be the best year yet. I pray that you give us faith beyond the faith we have today. Give us courage beyond the courage we have today. Give us strength beyond the strength that we have today to love people well and to do the right thing. I pray for freedom, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing this year in the name of Jesus. We trust you, God. We know we can trust you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.